We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone U.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to another awesome episode of Ask Drone U. My name is Paul.
And I'm Rob, and you're listening to episode number 305. Thank you so much for being with us today. We really, really, really appreciate it.
Absolutely, and always we appreciate seeing your photos on Instagram, so give us a tag, at the Drone U. Just got to tag us, at the Drone U, and we will repost them for you. And Rob, do you know that we hit 25,000 followers yesterday?
No, I did not notice that. That's so cool. Thank you to everybody that's a follower.
Yes, absolutely.
That's
thank you.
Really awesome.
Right now,
it's Rob, almost like you know what you're doing with social media or something.
No, I actually have no idea. Just
got lucky.
Yeah, you know, just trying it.
Cool.
Just, you know, doing stuff, being personable and things.
There you go.
Anyway, I got some news for you here, Rob. Are you ready for it?
Always ready for news.
So, for those of you who are going after your pilot's license for your Section 333 exemption, if you want to be pilot in command, guess what? The rules are a change in here, Rob.
For the better, for the worse? What's going on?
Well, Mr. Rupret wrote a little article on his blog, if you guys want to check it out, called Getting a Pilot's License to Fly Drones? New regulations soon go into effect.
Very informative blog.
Yes.
You guys really need to be following this because he's about as up to date on this stuff as anybody is.
That is so true. And he says, new regulations go into effect on April 1st, which will affect your plans for obtaining a student pilot certificate. So guys, if you are in the midst of getting your pilot's license right now, I'm just going to jump to the gun. Here's what you should do. Get your student pilot certificate, the paper version, before April 1st, because originally, you didn't have to worry so much about the wait time until you obtained your student pilot certificate. You could just go down to your local aviation medical examiner, FISDO, or a DPE, and pick up the student pilot certificate that day. But now you have to apply for your student pilot certificate and wait until the TSA checks your background and mails you the student pilot certificate. So, to keep things short, John thinks that this process could take 7 to 10 weeks.
Okay.
So normally it would take a day to get your student pilot license,
so,
like the one that I have.
Yeah.
In fact, I probably should have grabbed that to show it to everyone here on the show, but oh well.
So basically people need to, when they listen to this, stop what they're doing, play sick, and go get the certificate.
Yeah, I would. Now remember, you can get your certificate from a DPE.
But they have today and tomorrow. That's it.
Yeah, they do have today and tomorrow.
Friday's the first.
You know, so if you rush to get it done today or tomorrow, take the DPE or the person from FISDO out to lunch to say thank you, because they will save you a significant amount of time.
Does anything else change in terms of qualifications to get it, cost to get it, or is it just the background check that's changing?
I think it's the background check that's changing. Now, something that I was asking my CFI and I was asking John, I said, now, do I need to worry about a background check? Because I already have my student pilot's license. And he's like, no, you don't need to worry about it. You're already like good to go.
This is not retroactive. This
correct.
Is moving forward. Okay. Mm-hmm. Good to know.
In other news, the FAA announced the blanket COA that would be given out to all Section 333 exemptions for commercial operations going forward. So they have a new announcement. Now, I read that wrong. So there's a 400-foot increase. So every 333 operator, and I'm doing a terrible job of reporting this, every 333 operator gets a general COA to operate drones that's outside of any controlled airspace. So normally it's 200 feet. Now it's 400 feet. But why is the FAA doubling the amount of airspace to every Section 333 operator? The reason for the blanket COAs being created in the first place was because every COA was geographically defined. Unless the old blanket COA, which blanketed most of the operations, was created, the system would have choked to death in months. The 200 old the 200-foot-old blanket COA somewhat worked for some operations around the U.S., but there are many lattice radio towers all over the U.S. that are between 200 and 400 feet. Hmm. Under the old blanket COA, each of these towers would need a new 400-foot COA that would be site-specific and not nationwide like the blanket COA. This bogged the system down tremendously because each radio tower had to have a COA. Now, commercial operators have the ability to fly their commercial drones up 400 feet. This new blanket COA has the ability to speed up the COA process because the COA analysts won't be wasting their time on the 200 to 400-foot towers, but now putting their skills to better use at looking at near airport COAs.
All right, so got to give a little kudos, right, for a common sense change. I mean, it sounds like it makes sense, and they've made the change, so good for them.
The FAA said that they estimate the move will lessen the need for individual COAs by about 30 to 40%. So I think
significant
for everyone who has their 3D3, good news.
Yeah, so absolutely.
Definitely. But
we'll take it.
I think we should probably move into today's questions. Guys, if you have any questions about what's going on in the legal world, send your question into askdroneu.com, and we will get those questions answered. Just a heads up, for everyone who's been asking the FPV racer questions, our DroneU FPV pilot has finally returned from Dubai, and he will be in on Friday to answer your questions, which will be kind of spread out through the next week or so. So I look forward to those, look forward to getting those questions answered. And finally, Rob, we are back to building our FPV racer and doing that class. I'm very excited about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's, I would think, since we're going to have him on, that'd be one of those days when we can answer multiple questions. Obviously, we typically do one a day. But since we're going to have him in on that one show, if you've got a question, send it in, astronew.com, and we'll have him just address all those.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I think we should get into today's question. So today's question is brought to you by... Are you a drone pilot? Are you operating under a Section 333 exemption? Then you may be familiar with Item 27, which requires you to get a property release for every flight over property.
Legal Flyer is an app for iPhone and iPad that helps you create professional property releases in less time than it takes to do a pre-flight check.
You can add your pilot info, you can sign in, hand it to the property owner for their signature. But wait a second. Legal Flyer's advanced integration automatically adds latitude, longitude, and even altitude.
Then add a panorama straight from the app. Everything drops into a single page PDF you can share with a single tap. It's compliance at light speed. Visit LegalFlyer.com for more information or get it straight from the App Store. Legal Flyer, property releases for professional drone pilots.
Hi guys, this is Jonathan from Southern California. I've been listening to DroneU for about a month now, and I've actually been listening to DroneU before I bought my P3P, and just wanted to tell you guys that you guys are awesome. Rob, Paul, and the entire team that work at DroneU to make these podcasts and information available online available to us. Thank you very much. You guys have been awesome. I love the energy you guys bring to the podcast and just everything you guys put into it and how you guys are striving to help us out. That's awesome, and I wish more people were out there that would be like you and have that same spirit. So my question revolves around music. What type of music do you recommend putting in your real estate videos? I know a lot of these Instagram 15-second clips are like this electronic chill step music, and do you recommend that for real estate? I don't know if that is professional enough for if you're working with $1 million plus home, but I just wanted to hear your opinion on that. Also, what's the legalities around this? Who do we ask permission from if we want to use some other song that, you know, it's copywritten or you can't just grab it and use it for your own use? And especially make money off of it. What do you recommend? Thank you guys again. And I've been hearing people on the podcast ask if you guys have Polar Pro filters available. Hey, I don't know how that works, but if you guys have some, I'd love some. But thank you again to the whole team behind the DroneU podcast. been learning so much, and just keep up the great work. I'm listening every day on my way to work.
Wow. Jonathan, you're awesome. Thank you so much. I'm blushing. In all seriousness, we love what we do. I love that I get to do this with Paul, someone who actually knows about drones. And I just get to be a part of the conversation. Our team here just loves being able to help the community. It's awesome.
Yeah, but we really appreciate that engagement. We appreciate those questions.
Absolutely.
It's funny. I see so many things all over, like daily business hustle and whatnot. They're like, come become members of our mastermind group where you'll be with other startups. I'm like, I feel like we are so deep in the startup world. Every morning I come in here and I meet amazing people, surrounded by amazing people. Yeah. But that really is thanks to the engagement that we have with the community. So thank you very much.
Absolutely.
Now, that being said, what kind of music do you use, Rob? I mean, you are the main videographer here at Drone U, so.
Well, I prefer George Strait.
Well, I guess that's why
I'm kidding.
Is not in Texas.
That's right. No, no, no. I obviously am not the one to answer this because I'm not an editor. I don't produce these things. But I know I like what you guys put on. I was thinking, though, as he was asking the question, that one good thing for him to do to get examples of style would be to go to your Ride Media YouTube page.
Yeah.
Yes. Are those too old?
Well, those are probably, you know, a lot of those videos are about 2 years old for real estate, except for a couple that were done last year. You know, just like how John was saying, our producer who's behind the scenes, you guys can't see him. What he was saying in the background is, you know, really depends on audience. Depends on the audience of the home, because, you know, if you're shooting a home that's, say, 300,000 to 600,000, you're going to have a buyer who's probably 30, 50 years old, somewhere in there. So you may be able to utilize more modern music, you know, more cinematic, more upbeat. We're not talking dubstep here, though. You know, those are kind of saved for your action sports videos. Now, if you're filming a $1 million house, you're filming in a really expensive house, you know, you're probably going to have to use some type of like classical music, Rob, or something, you know, a little jazzy, something that brings the energy up, you know.
Sure.
It's, you can edit to the beat of the track itself. And that being said, some people have asked me before, you know, well, Paul, if you upload your videos to YouTube, you can use the copyright-free music. That's correct, but that means you have to edit your entire video without music, which for me is like one of the first steps in the process when I'm editing.
Sure.
And I kind of edit to music. Mm-hmm. So for me, that's kind of like, that takes my system and flips it on its head.
Understand. So would you say that, and I don't know, John could maybe even chime in, maybe not, but the purpose of the music is going to be different for real estate. So, for example, if we take one of your wave surfing, right?
Wave surfing.
What are we talking about?
I believe you meant to say wake surfing.
Wake surfing. You mad at me now?
Yeah, you can't come out surfing ever.
Okay, good. Anyways, wake surfing. It worked.
I guess you don't like living your dreams, going to remote locations, being on a boat with beautiful people, enjoying a few alcoholic beverages, being by the water, the sun kind of on your skin, warming you up, making you feel nice and fuzzy with your friends. You don't like any of that?
Anyways, so would you say music for that is going to be bolder?
Yes.
Than real estate, where it's going to be more subtle?
I'm thinking real estate BPM is probably going to be 80 to 90 BPM, whereas, you know, surfing videos are going to be about 130 to 160 BPM.
So what does that mean? Tell everybody what BPM means.
Beats per minute.
Okay.
So, like the creepy trance music we were listening to this morning, it was like, you know, that's probably about like 110, 120.
Got it.
So you can really go fast. You can really, you know, go slow.
What about, go ahead, sorry.
The other thing to think about here, guys, is that where is your house located? Is this kind of a beachy house? Is this a ranch house? Because I've filmed some Westerns before where literally it took me 2 days to find a song that went ba-boom, da-doom, ba-doom, ba-doom. And it was like, you know, this old kind of Western feeling because these people had built a $5 million film studio on their ranch property that was an old Western town. And they wanted me to like fly through that and everything, and which was actually a lot of fun.
Very cool. So let's do this, put you on the spot a little bit.
Okay.
Let's just take that $300,000 to $600,000 house that you mentioned.
Yeah.
Can you give a couple of examples of songs you would use? That might be tough. I know, because I didn't prep you for that, and I didn't ask you to have that ready. So,
I can give an example of I just did. Let me see if I can pull it up on Dropbox. I just did a home a little while ago, but it was in Mexico. So we used some mariachi music. I gotta find it though.
That's
so give me a second.
Interesting.
I think I found it. Yep, I found it. But this was also mostly like a land video, so we had to get really creative and just showcase land. So I'm not gonna make this available to be shown on the podcast though, because this is kind of pre-release. But here's this. Here's the music.
That's cool. See, I like that because it's unique, and probably a lot of people would not have thought to use that.
Yeah. And we can edit. Boom, shot. Shot.
That's
shot.
Cool. So was this a free download, or was this from a paid source?
No, this was from a paid source. So he's asking, you know, where do we get Northern New Mexico?
Beautiful.
I mean Mexico. where do we get our music? Where I go for music depends on the level of tier, I guess you could say, of pricing for my clients. If I've got a higher end client, I'm going to go to themusicbed.com. songs are normally $200 to $500 each, but you can get really sophisticated tracks that are, you know, 12, 15 parts over one track like this.
See, I don't remember us ever paying that much. I think the most we've paid is like $70 for a track.
No, we paid $200 for a track for
sure.
We
did.
I don't know why this is playing, but...
You slipped it by me.
No, that was definitely in our expense report for a video. I remember.
Must must have gone a meal, buried, Rob, pay a meal. I think that's what happened.
I love the music bed, though, for also cinematic choices, because they have some of the most cinematic stuff I've ever heard. In fact, I'm going to go to top download. No, I got to go to commercial. Top downloaded songs. So here's the thing. In long story short, just the basis of why you need to purchase music is that music is copyrighted, and you cannot use other people's music to make money. You have to purchase copyright-free music or purchase a license to music in order to use it for commercial purposes, like making a video to showcase
right.
yourself.
Are there any free sources of music that you can use for commercial purposes that you know of?
Maybe, but odds are they probably suck.
Yeah, I don't know of any really, and I doubt the quality would be very good. But here's something cinematic from MusicBed. I would use this for real estate for a higher-end home. Sorry, I'm zenning out over here. Anyway, for any home, you know, $300,000 to $600,000, you really have a wide choice of what music to use. Just make sure your audience is going to be comfortable with that music.
Right.
So if you're making a real estate video, the first thing to do is run it by the realtor. Because I made a house one time that was for a very famous person, and it had some kind of dubstep to it, and they were like, "What is this? What's going on?"
As in they didn't like it.
Why is my water slide speed ramping? So, no, literally, like, we flew through the water slide, like, out through the water.
Yeah.
And you just see the water going whoop, 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 like, up and down. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. Our editor is speed ramp crazy, so.
Yeah. No, I've seen that. So, what about the other thing I think Jonathan mentioned was, let's say you have a song that you really, really like.
Mm-hmm.
And you know you want to use it for something.
Yeah.
What's the best way to go to find the most efficient, least expensive way to get that song? Does that
make
sense?
If you're hearing a song on the radio, chances are you can't afford to pay for a license. Because, you see commercials with these type of songs, you know, like the Black Eyed Peas. People are paying $150,000 to $200,000 for that music license. So if you like a certain style of song, Can you get something that's like that? Absolutely. You can go to audiojungle.net. It's a great place to go.
Okay.
You can find a lot of lookalike. I call them lookalike songs there, meaning, for example, DJI's very first S1000 video has a song that's from audiojungle.net, and you can actually get a song that only has 2 to 4 bars of difference in that song right below it for about $10 cheaper, and it kind of sounds like the DJI song, but it's unique enough that you could be like, no, but mine's different, mine's unique, you know, blah 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 blah.
And so what's the range of price on Audio Jungle?
$10 to $40. Most songs are like $19 to $25 each. So an Audio Jungle is one of my favorites. Now our editor said that we had to mention a new website for music, for getting music. Right. Sorry, guys, if you hear me and I am struggling or it sounds like I'm struggling, I am so tired. I'm trying to lose weight and I'm exhausted, okay?
So. That's an emotional tiredness.
Yes. Yes.
We stand with you, Paul.
Well, thank you.
And
Rob,
he's doing very well, by the way, everybody. You're making progress.
I am.
We're proud of you.
Thank you. But so this last site that we're using, tell us about it, Rob. What's the name of this last site? Why is it beneficial to people?
Well, so it's art-list.io, correct, John? So, and this is something John's just informed us about. We haven't really looked into much, just so you're aware of that. But apparently it's a couple $100 for the entire year, and every piece of music on there you can use for that one price per year. So it's unlimited downloads. So
that's awesome.
Something worth checking out. And obviously you can go to that site and you can see what kind of music they have. They give you samples.
We just checked it out for the first time and there were actually some pretty cool songs on there. So we may actually be using that. But one last thing, if you're trying to go for a very specific style, a very specific song, like you're trying to go for some Hawaiian based song, you know, like aloha, excuse me.
It's Hawaiian music.
Hawaiian music, yeah. Or if you're like doing a surfing video and you want to find a song about waves or surfing, the Music Bed is the way to go. In fact, I will give this video to John, which he can show at the end of the podcast. So if you're listening, you can go to YouTube and check it out. But it was our Canadian video, and it has the song Take Me to the Waves. Because it's all about surfing. So it's perfect because it talks about what the people in the video are experiencing. So remember, your music should really draw out emotion. It should engage. It should attract. It should inspire. So I think that's really important.
Very cool.
I don't know how to better define what type of music I would use for lower end homes. I don't mean lower end. I just mean like less than a million. You know, that 300 to 600 mark. It just... You know, don't spend too much time on it, guys, because that real estate video, the 2 to 3 minute long real estate video for that home is not as important as your $1 million homes. So, you know, be modern, be positive, happy vibe, high major notes, because that kind of gives like you the happy feeling. And then, you know, Audio Jungle is a great place for most of you to get started and just go listen to music. You know, and one thing I would not do, though, I think a huge mistake for new drone pilots when they're getting real estate jobs is they send music to their realtor like, hey, do you like this? Hey, do you like that? Don't do that.
Why?
That is a horrible idea because let me give you the example. Something happened a few months ago. I did that. I made that mistake just because I was so caught up in all things drone you. And this
well,
was
you
just,
wanted to please the realtor, make sure they're happy.
And you know, he was like, well, you know, I want to get some, I forget, what did he say? The Juanes. I wanted Juanes, which is, I think it's a Mexican band, but I listened to them in high school only because I was taking like level 3 and level 4 Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
And we heard a lot of Juanes cause our teacher loved it. And I just looked at him and I'm like, well, unless you plan on paying for that music license, I'm not going to be able to get that music. And he looked at me like I was crazy. And he was like, why? I'm like, well, Juanes is like he's on a record label. You're going to have to pay at least like 10, 15 grand for that song minimum.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, well, why can't we just use it and then put it on YouTube? And I'm like, because that's violating the law. and then he's like, okay, well, if you can't get Juanes, can you get me, and then he named off some other Spanish,
like Leonard Skin, oh,
some other Spanish band that was not as high of a artist level as Juanes, but it was still a huge commercial license. And I finally said, look, sir, just so you know, you have to purchase copyright-free music. So most of the music that you've heard on the radio, you can't use. And I sent him a few examples, and I said, just please pick one, because once you're done, I will continue editing, because normally we have a song that we can just edit from the get-go. So what I would do is, when you're talking to a realtor, try to find out just which type of music they like or they would like to see, and just stick with the type.
Yeah, don't, or style.
Yeah, don't get hung up on individual songs, or else you will create an editing nightmare for yourself.
And oftentimes, if you ask them what style or what type of music do you like, they're going to give you a couple of song examples anyways.
They should. I mean,
but then you can kind of base your selection on that.
Yeah, I mean, otherwise they should be, you know, like, oh, we want more of a slow, uplifting, progressive, lots of string instruments, you know, maybe a little percussion.
You think a realtor is going to tell you that?
I've had a realtor tell me that before.
Wow.
But the beautiful thing is, I can go to MusicBed and then type in those different things in the search bar, like slow BPM, percussion, string instruments, you know, like this length of the song, and it'll actually pull that up.
That's
cool. So I really like that. And then from there, I can take those ideas of those songs and go to Audio Jungle to try and find something cheaper. But MusicBed for me has been kind of the first place I always go, just for organizational purposes. Like, okay, these are the type of styles the realtor likes. This is what I'm going to get.
Right.
Once you pick a song, go with it. And then cool. I always let my realtors make one round of revisions after I've edited the video, but changing the song out is not a part of that. And I put that in my contract. So that
makes sense. Download a temp track just in case, but it's whatever you do.
Yeah.
Well, I was actually going to ask, when you buy one of these pieces of music, you're able to use it infinitely, right?
No.
So there's
you're only allowed to use it once.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. It's a one-time use generally. Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's unless you're sketchy and then use it for multiple real estate videos.
Okay, don't be sketchy guy.
Rob.
Just don't be undercharger and don't be sketchy guy. What do you mean, Rob?
Rob has never even downloaded a song to put in a video in his life, so don't worry, FCC. We're not breaking those rules.
We're on the up and up.
Anyway, guys, if you have a question, go to AskDroneU.com. If you know someone who is new at flying their drone and they don't want to have this long learning curve, they don't want to cause problems for the industry, or you don't want them to cause problems for the industry, make sure you tell them about the Don't Crash Course, don'tcrashcourse.com. In fact, Rob, it's funny. I'm already seeing the P4s hitting eBay that have been crashed, and there's hundreds of them.
Oh, no.
So it's like, you know, this whole, oh, it's the crash-proof drone. No, it's not. So, you know, guys,
there's no such thing.
If you buy a new drone, check out the Don't Crash Course. I mean, literally, like, I did a training this weekend, and I wish every single one of those people had watched the Don't Crash Course
before
we went out flying.
That's actually a really interesting point. When we do in-person training, maybe this isn't time to talk about this, but nonetheless, we should have them watch that before they come out here.
Absolutely. Because, I mean, there's when I'm having to go through things early in the morning before we fly because the weather is going to be bad in the afternoon, it really kind of dampers their ability to learn.
Yeah,
so, 'cause
for sure.
An overwhelming amount of information. So,
got to do that.
Anyway, guys, that's going to do it for us today. My name is Paul.
And I'm Rob.
And this is Ask Drone U.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone U.